Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi, Hayriyes Daf Vav. We begin on Hayomi Beis, three lines off the bottom. Okay, so let's just pick up where we left off. Yesterday we learned that the Par He'elem Davar Shel Tzibur, so that's the carbon that would be brought when Klal Yisrael, as a nation, mistakenly committed a transgression due to a mistaken verdict issued by the Beis Din HaGadol, Yerushalayim, who permitted, you know, for instance, Chelev to be eaten, Dam to be eaten. Now the question is, who brings the carbon? According to Rabbi Yehuda, the public brings it. According to Rabbi Shimon, the public and the Bezdin. According to Rabbi Meir, only the Bezdin. Here comes a kasha on Rabbi Meir, who says the Bezdin is the one that offers the carbon. Tanya, Rabbi Shimon Aymer, Matam Adloimar. So we have the pasuk where the Levim were inaugurated, were introduced to the Avodah, were sanctified for the Avodah of the Mishkan. So there was some Kambranas brought on that occasion. So what does the Pasuk mean when it says, "Upar sheni ben bokar tikach lachatos"? So there was one par, one cow, brought as an oila, another one brought as a chatos. Now, it's often understood that if it's the second one, then it's number two. Why mention number two? Upar sheni ben bokar tikach lachatos. If it's to teach how many, shem shnayim, that's obvious. Velik Varnemar. It already says that there's one par for the Oila and one for the Chatas. And obviously, 1 plus 1 equals 2. Vasa asa echad Chatas, asa echad Oila, Lashem. So what's the purpose of mentioning number 2? Ela yachad tenei chalas. Chatas lalavim. The point is that the Pasuk is preempting something that we would think. Just like a regular chatos is meant to be offered to the Levim, to the Kehanim, to eat. Right? So a typical chatos is consumed by Kehanim. Perhaps this chatos as well. It follows the same, you know, system. Tamalemar. That's why the Pasuk says, Upar Sheni. The second one is the chatos. Second to what? Second to the first. What's the first? The Oila. To connect, to compare the two. Sheni Loila. And to teach us, ma'ayla lo'ina echeles. Just like the first one, the oila is not consumed by the kehanim, rather it's completely burnt on the mizbech. Av chatas lo'ina echeles, likewise. This special chatas, brought on this unique occasion, will not be consumed by the kehanim. Kayetzibay, in similar fashion, Omar Biesi taught as well. There was another time in history when the carbon chatas was not meant to be eaten by Kehanim. This took place when they returned, our nation returned from exile from Babel with Ezra, and they brought many karbanas on that occasion. And we're going to see in a minute. It was meant for kapara of worshipping idols, way back in the at the end of the first Beis HaMikdash, and there were many, many members that were still recalling, many people that were standing there at the time, after they returned back to Yerushalayim, who had experienced the first Beis HaMikdash and had succumbed to idol worship, and they were very remorseful, as we're going to see later. And they brought a huge amount of karbanis. Haboim, Mishvi, Hagoyla, those who returned from the Golos, Ikribu, Oilois, Lilike Yisrael, Parim Shnei Masa, they brought a total of 12 Parim, and the Pasuk actually continues to describe many more, until we have Sfirei Chatos Shnei Masar, 12 Karbonais Chatos. And the Pasuk concludes with Hakoil Oila. Everything is an Oila. Asks the Gemara the obvious question. We just mentioned Chatos. How could you call them all Oila? Hakoil Oila Sakadaita? How could you say it's all Oila? Efshar Shech Chatos. How can a Chatos be an Oila? Ela Hakoil Ko Oila. Rather, the point is, all those Karbon, even the Chatois within this package, redeemed to a certain extent like an oila. to the point that it's not going to be eaten by the Kohanim. It was fully consumed on the Mizbeach. Rashi explains, because this was a carbon for Avodah Zarah, which has that halacha. Efshe shachatas, how can you say it's all oila? Ela kol ka'oila. Rather, all has a status like an oila. Ma oila le'necheles, afchatas le'necheles, just like you don't need an oila, you don't need eat this chatas as well. The sanya, as we learned, that these were chatois brought to atone for Avodah Zarah. Rabbi the Omar al-Avodah Zarah, they brought to atone for Avodah Zarah. Which Avodah Zarah? When was this sin committed? Vamar Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, from way back, also that they committed b'meitzit kiyo in the time of tzitkiyo ha-melech, at the end of churban bayis, at the end of bayis rish. End of story. Now, why 12? How do you get to a total of 12 karbonis? Now, this was a communal sin, communal transgression, which would, in a way, trigger a similar, you know, system, a similar result to the Par Helam Davar that we're learning in our Masechta. It wasn't exactly, but it was a similar idea that it was a national event, a national, you know, obligation to atone for a sin. So, Bishleim el Rabbi Yehuda Mishkach Haslo. So, according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says, the public brings the Chatoi, so every Shevet brings its own Par, right? When it comes to the standard Par Helam Davar Shal Tzibur. So, likewise over here, it makes sense that they brought 12. Why do we get 12? We're speaking that 12 tribes sinned. The Maaser Shnei Maaser Seirim, that explains why they bring 12 goats. 12 Seirim, because this is Avodah Zarah, which requires Seirim. Inami, alternatively, you could have a case, the Chatos Shiva Shvatim, only 7 Shvatim sinned. So it's most of Klal Yisrael, but it still necessitates 12, because Ushara, Inach, Begrir, because the other Shvatim get drawn along, as we learned the other day. They're all meant to participate. Hence, the number 12. Rav Shimon Nami, Mishkachas, likewise, according to Rav Shimon, who says, the Shvatim bring and the Bezdin. How do you get to number 12? Going to Chato Asar Achad Asar Shvatim. You have 11 Shvatim who sinned. The Maisar Achad Asar Seirim, which requires 11 Karbonis, plus 1 for the Bezdin. Vidach, the Bezdin. So Rav Yehuda, Rav Shimon, they're covered. Elul Rav Meir. Question is, according to Ramei, how do you get to number 12? It should be just one for the Bezdin. The Amar Bezdin Mevin, well, Tzibur, he says the Bezdin brings not the Tzibur. So, how do you get to 12? The answer is like this. What happened was, the public sinned and sinned and sinned. Atri Zimni. Atri Zimni, until 12 times over and over again. And for each event, for each sin, it required a separate carbon on account of the leadership of the Bezdin. Okay, so that pretty much sums up that discussion. But now let's delve a bit deeper into this historical event. How could they bring a carbon chatas if the actual sinners, sort of the owners of that sin, are no longer alive? We know that, at least by a private individual, if he sets aside the carbon, or he sins and hadn't yet, you can't bring a carbon on his behalf. The Gemara is assuming that the original, you know, generation who sinned were no longer around. V'maisi. Maisi means misa, they died. Maisi lu hanu dechatos. Those who sinned had already passed away. Amra papa. Ki gmir echatos shemesu ba'alei b'misa. When do we say that a chatos whose owner passed away, that chatos b'misa, can't be brought as a carbon, it's left to die? This is learned from Halacha L'Meshem Sinai, as we're going to see on the Amud Beis of our daf. That's specific to a private person. When he dies, you can't, you know, process the carbon. Hani bili biyachad, avaloi b'tzibur. As opposed to the public, a tzibur. They're different. L'vishein misa b'tzibur. The concept of death doesn't apply to a tzibur. The public lives on. Kal Yisrael is eternal. Right? So, even if they actually died. Yeah, those people died, but the public as a whole is still around, alive and well, and they can bring the carbon. Manolid Rav Papaha. Where did Rav Papa get this concept to learn that there's no concept of Misa? Betzibor. That the din of Misa, which means to say that the carbon chatas which is typically put to death when the owner dies. The din misa on the carbon doesn't apply by tzibur. Manale l'rav papaha. Where do you get it from? Ilayim b'dechsiv, is it from the pasuk in Tehillim? Ta'acha asav yisecha yubanecha. The children sort of take the place of the parents. So, it all just, you know, it's one continuum. Yach, if that's the case, then why limit this concept to the tzibur at large? Yach, if be yachad nami, even a private person. Right? We should say that the kids take over and they can bring the carbon chatos. And we know it's not so, right? We know that a chatos, shemesu ba'alea, whose owner passed away, that chatos cannot be processed. Ela duke de Rav Papa misar de Rish Chodesh. Rather, Rav Papa drew his concept from a carbon that we bring every Rish Chodesh, a soir chatos brought the Beis Hamikdash on Rish Chodesh. Dam Rachmana, the Torah tells us, who sponsors it? Maisi, Mitrumas Halishka. It's sponsored with the money of the Turmas Halishka, the Beis Hamikdash. What do you mean? That money was collected half a year ago. From then till now, plenty of people have passed away. So the de facto owners of these kabbanas are no longer here. But Maisilu Mistral, those of, you know, some members certainly had passed away. V'hanach Tafayshi, and those remaining members, Heichi Maisu, how can they bring a carbon which is partially owned by those who had passed away? Elosh Mamina, this comes and teaches us that in fact, Chatos Shemesu Baalea, if it's Bitzibur, if it's a public Chatos, Karva can still be processed. Well, how do you compare the two stories? Me dummy. Soy Rish Chodesh, how can you compare the two Karbanim? Soy Rish Chodesh, Do Molay Maisu Mitzibur. You know, in terms of the monthly carbon, maybe they didn't die. You don't know for a fact that even if some die, but the majority is still alive and well. And that determines the status of this carbon. But here, the people that were there during the time of Tzidkio certainly were no longer around. Rather, a papa came from a different pasuk. We have a pasuk by the Egla Rufa. But they discovered a victim on the road. They bring a special a calf, etc. And the pasuk says, "Karper la'amcha Yisrael." So the kohanim call out to Hashem, "Hashem, please atone for your nation." Asher pradisa Hashem, those who you redeemed when, back when in Mitzrayim. Those of us who left Mitzrayim will be, you know, addressed by this carbon, by this ru'yu kaparazu. It's appropriate that this atonement should tachaber al yotzei Mitzrayim. Should address and cleanse even those who left Mitzrayim. Hold it. Those left Mitzrayim are no longer around. How could they receive atonement from today's process? This reference to Asher Padisa indicates that in fact we're talking about Yotzei Mitzrayim, Asher Padisa, right? And they're getting Hapara today. Apparently, there's no concept of Misa by the Tzibur. Midami, once again, how can you compare this to the Sar Rosh Chodesh? Hasam Kulu Aisinun. In the case of the Egla Rufa, all are present. Because, you know, primarily the Egla Rufa is coming to atone for those that are here. And everybody's alive and well. Now, once you have, you know, the primary beneficiaries awaiting Kapara, right? So then, you know, the Yeti Mitzrayim sort of, you know, they piggyback on today's population. Migu, right? Since the Mechaper Achaim, the carbon can, the Egla Rufa can atone for those who are living now, because they're all here. Mechaper Nama Mesim, and also benefits those who have passed away as a sort of secondary kapara. Elohacha, but over here, Mihavu Chaim. But over here, meaning by the karbonas that they brought during Ezra's time, right? How do you compare Egla Rufa to Ezra? Over there, everybody's around, right? Yetzi Mitzrayim get a sort of a bonus kapora on account of today's generation. But over here, by the story of Ezra, were they around? No. Previous generation had already passed away. Answers the Gemara, actually, let us correct that. Believe it or not, they were around. They actually lived through the experience as well. In Achanami, you're right. those who have sinned way back in the time of Tzidkiyahu were still alive today. So the whole issue is a non-issue. As the pasuk says, "V'rabim ma'kehanim alavim rosha avos," that had actually experienced the first bais, were around and they were crying, reminiscing the great glory of the first bais hamikdash. Apparently, they were all present. Asked the gemara, "V'dilma me'otin habu, v'loy rabim habu?" Perhaps only some members were there. Some were alive. A minority. Compared to the whole population. So if it's only a minority, again, it would be a problem because you're primarily trying to be mechaper and those who are not here. Says the Gemara, actually, most people that were there were from the Bais Rishon. Hoksev, the pasuk says that the crying of those people drowned out, it was so intense that it drowned out the calls and sounds of celebration. Apparently, it was a big crowd that were there still from way back. They couldn't discern the sounds of celebration because of the sound of the crying. So the bottom line is, the majority of those who were present were actually still from Bayis Rishon, hence the Chatas was addressing live people, live owners, and that allays our concerns. Ask the Gemara, but hold it, one more question. Since when could he bring a carbon Chatas when they committed idol worship? B'meiz, intentionally. B'mezid din havu. Typically, a carbon is only for a shogig. Answers the Gemara, you're right, this was an exceptional case. They got a special, hayruah from Hashem. A carbon even for a mezid. And if you look at the numbers of how many carbonas they brought, you see it was something unusual. It was certainly an anomaly. Elim tishim v'shisha kvasim shivim shiva. I mean, you're talking about a huge amount of karbonis, right? Elim tishim v'shisha, 96 rams, kvasim sheep, shivim shiva, 77. Kineged me. Why all these karbonis? What was the significance of all these numbers? Ela rosha hisa. Apparently, it was a one-time event dictated by Hashem due to the unusual circumstances. And hachanami rosha hisa, likewise, it allowed for a carbon even by a mezid, which is not your typical procedure. Tana Rabban. Okay, so back on the topic of the Chatos Shemesu Ba'aleo. Tana Rabban, we have a braisa. Meis echad min atzibur chayavim. Suppose the Bezdin issued a mistaken ruling regarding something severe, the public followed suit, which triggered the par helam davashal tzibur, obligation. Now in between, before they got a chance to bring the carbon, a member of the public passed away. Meis echad min atzibur chayavim, they still have to bring the carbon. But echad mi bezdin p'tur. If the one of the members of the bezdin hagadol who issued that ruling passed away in between, they're exempt. It's no longer a carbon. They can't bring a carbon anymore because they're missing one member, one of the owners of this potential carbon. Says the Mantana, who's speaking in this price? Whose opinion is being expressed? We had Rameir who says the Bezdin brings the carbon. Rabidu says the public brings it. Rab Shimon says both. Mantan, Amar Rav Chizd, Amar Rav Zeira, Amar Rav Yirmiya, Amar Rav. Rabbi Meir, apparently this Braisa is expressing Rameir's opinion. The Amar who says, Bezdin mevim b'le tzibur. Typically the Bezdin brings the carbon, not the tzibur. Hilkoch, that explains the Halach. Meizach ab'na tzibur chayovin. So even if a member of the public had passed away in the interim, the Bezdin still brings a carbon. Why? because the Bezna is still alive and well, and they're the owners of the carbon. So death of one of the members of the public wouldn't affect their obligation, right? Do koyim kulei Bezna, because the Bezna is still standing and intact, fully there. However, meis echad min Bezna, in the second case, where a member of Bezna passed away, now we're stuck, Peturin. How come? Da'avalo chatos shemesu echad min ha-shutfin. So although it's not, you know, exactly a personal private carbon, it's a joint carbon meant to be presented by all members of the Bezna. It's sort of a partnership carbon. Nevertheless, if one of the partners passed away prior to bringing the carbon, right? So the carbon is lacking an owner, at least, you know, an element of ownership. That's why you can't bring the carbon. So it's a chiddush that even though only part of the ownership passed away, that disables the carbon. Mask of Rav Yosef, says Rav Yosef, why are we forced to say that this brisa is just Rav Meir speaking? You know what? It can follow even Rav Shimon's shita as well, who says the Amar Bezdin imatzibur, or Bezdin mevi'in imatzibur, as it goes on the side. So Bezdin brings, the tzibur brings. Each one has his own carbon, and you can still explain the brisa perfectly. We start with Meis Echad Ben Atzibur Chayavin. If a member of the public passed away, the carbon is still brought. The public's carbon is still brought. Why? This will be in line with what we said earlier. There ain't Tzibur Meisim. There's no concept of Misa by Tzibur. Tzibur lives on. Right? Well, you can say Ain't Tzibur Meisim means that the Rashi learns Ain't Din Misa but Tzibur. The halacha that the chatas, whose owner passed away, that chatas must be put to death. That doesn't apply by the tzibur. Okay, in any case, the point is the death of a member doesn't affect the carbon. So you carry on. Meisecha min bezdin, however, one of the bezdin members passes away, p'turin, you can't bring the carbon. Why? Kedamrinan. The chatas is shutfin. Because this is a chatas shutfin, it's not tzibur, it's shutfin. It doesn't belong to the general public. It's an obligation upon, you know, a group of people. It's a partnership, it's a shutfis. In this case, it doesn't have the same status as a tzibur, which relates to the general community, to the nation. It's just a shutfis, in which case, if one member dies, the chatas is now disabled. The chatas shutfini. Amar Leh Abaye, Abaye responds, you know why we can't be speaking according to Rav Shimon? Because according to Rav Shimon, just as a chatas Hatzibur has no misa, likewise a chatas shutfin. Amar Leh Abaye Shamin and Rav Shimon, we find elsewhere that Rav Shimon in fact holds the Amar who says chatas shutfin ain't a misa. There's no misa by chatas shutfin. Nisanio, as we find in the Braisa. Par v'sar shem kippurim she'ofdu. So you have the par and sar brought on Yom Kippur, and the par actually is meant to atone for the kahanim. And she'ofdu, they went missing. They're lost, and they quickly got a substitute. V'hifrish achayim tachteim. And they designated, you know, a backup carbon. And then we discovered the old ones. So the first, you know, a group, the first carbones who are now discovered are left, you know, to die. They can't be brought. Okay? So that's the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Lezer B'Shimon Aymrim, they disagree. Yiru, let them just, you know, go out and pasture until they're blemished. And, you know, sell them off and use the money for karba. There's no reason to put them to death. Because it's like a chatas tzibur. It's not a private, you know, a person's carbon. It's a communal carbon. Now, why is he calling it a chatas tzibur? It's not meant, you know, to atone for the whole nation. It's just for the kayhanim. Apparently, Reb Shimon regards a group of people, a shutfis, like tzibur. It's not one person alone. It's a group of people. A group of people has different status. It takes on a new identity, so to speak. It's not personal. It's communal. Which is unaffected by a death of one member. So that explains why we couldn't attach Rav Shimon's name to the Brais, which told us that if a member of the Bezdin passed away, we're in trouble. It would be no trouble at all, because it's a Chatas HaShutfin. Amar Rav Yosef's Rav response, no, you can't prove from here that according to Rav Shimon, Chatas HaShutfin is safe. Because this carbon is meant to address the Kehanim. Kehanim is more than just a Shutfus. It's like a whole entity. It's like a whole nation. It's like a whole community for itself. Kehanim, Kehanim. You're making reference to the Kehanim. Shani Kehanim. Kehanim are very different than just a group of people like a Bezdin. Kehanim, its own community. They can recall. In fact, the Torah calls them a Kohol, a community. Dechsev, Allah Kehanim, Valkol, Amakol Yechaper. Right? So the Karbonos Yom Kippur is meant to be Mechaper on Kol Am HaKol, the whole nation. And the Pasuk sort of references the Kehanim on the same level. A Kehanim, Valkol, Amakol. To indicate that Kehanim have a status of a Kol. So that was the more really? Alamiata. You're calling the Kehanim a Kol? If that's the case, Naisu Par Bahoira. So, you know, in a case of right, Hayru Bezdin, and the Bezdin misled with their erroneous psak, and the community followed. So halacha is every shevet brings a carbon. And according to you, the Kehanim considered its own shevet, its own call. It would have to bring, it would necessitate a separate carbon. And that can't be so. You know why? Because then we're running into issues with numbers. We spoke about 12. Remember, we spoke about 12 karbanis, one per shevet. Okay, let's assume what you're saying is true. Tafilu shvatim. You'll have more than 12 shvatim, because Levi is a shevet, and then you have the kehanim within shevet Levi. It's like another shevet. So according to Rav Shimon, you'll have 13 shvatim. And we had the mission the other day where Rav Shimon himself stops at 12. Elo marach bar Rav Yaakov. Let me explain to you why there's no power for the Kehanim. Shiftei shel Levi lo ikru kohol. No, we're wrong. Not only are the Kehanim not called a kohol, even the entire Shevet Levi doesn't have the status of a kohol. So you can't suggest that Kehanim are called a kohol, which would provide a new interpretation why Reb Shimon allows the lost and found carbon in Kippur to be processed. No. Kehanim are not a kohol. At most, they're just a shutfus, a group of people. The chesiv, as the pasuk says, "Hinni mafrechav Rabbi Sichon sitichel kal amim." Right? Hashem promises to Yahweh Avinu, "I'm going to give you kal amim. I'm going to give you." The pasuk continues, "I'm going to give them inheritance in Eretz Yisrael. They'll have territory in Eretz Yisrael." So you see this equation between being called a kohol and having territory in Eretz Yisrael, which teaches us kol sheish lachuza, only those who acquire territory in Eretz Yisrael, such as all the other shvatim except for Levi, right? If we call, they're labeled kohol. B'chol she'en le'achuzah, however, Shevet Levi doesn't have his own, a lot of territory there to stroll. Like we call, they're not labeled with the word kohol. So we have to discount for Shevet Levi. We don't have the term kohol applicable to Shevet Levi or the Kehanim within. Ask the Gemara, but now we're down a number. Because if you don't count Shevet Levi as a kohol, you only have 11 shvatim. It became chasrulu. You'd be shvatim, you're missing from the 12. Rabbaye, let's remember, Yosef, split into two, Ephraim and Menashe, right? Ephraim and Menashe, Keruven and Shimon Yuli, the pasuk clearly splits them into two. They're considered two, like Reuven and Shimon. Amar Rava, Voksiv al Shem Achem, Yikor ben Achlosam, Lonach Lohukshu, Veloyle Dover Acher. The pasuk clearly limits their status. They're called separate shvatim with respect to nachla. They get separate territories, but not regarding other things. For instance, regarding being considered a separate shevet for parallel davar shel tzibur, it's not the case. They're considered just one regarding parallel davar shel tzibur. So back to 11. Apparently, says Rava, we have to backtrack. certainly Shevet Levi is called a Kohal, which gets us up to number 12. But the Kehana within Shevet Levi, that's sort of a subset, they're not deserving of a title Kohal on their own. Rather, at most they're called a group of people, a Shotfus, and the Korban brought on Yom Kippur on their behalf, the par got lost and found, is merely a Chatas HaShotfim. And the fact that Rabbi Shimon says, no worries, there's no Misa by Chatas HaShotfim. What it does is basically is it preempts us attributing Rabbi Shimon's name to the Braisa, the earlier Braisa that we started with. If one of the members of the Bezin passes away, you can't bring the carbon, according to Rabbi Shimon, you would be able to. Because unless it's owned by a single individual who died, otherwise if it's a group, it's considered like a community to a certain extent and unaffected by the death of one member. Okay, now just picking up back on this topic regarding splitting Ephraim and Menashe. So it was only with respect to territory in Eretz Yisrael, really? V'loi? It didn't apply to other matters. V'lachalukim b'l'degolim. The Golem is where they camped, right, around the Mishkan. So the four sections, right, on all four sides of the Mishkan, and each side had its own flag, its own degel, and it was subset into three shvatim camped alongside that degel. And we find that Ephraim and Menashe camped separately. Why? And so they go, "Kenachloson kachana yosa." The chanoya, the encampment system in the Midbar, was patterned after it corresponded to the system of Nachlan Eretz Yisrael. And Rashi explains that Yaakov Avinu dictated the terms on both accounts. So just like they got separate territory, they camped separately. And the point was to give cover to the Golem, and Farshim explained that every degel, every side, was meant to have three Shavatim, and that necessitated a split. Because otherwise you'll be short a degel, a shevet, and one degel will only have two shvatim, less than the other ones. As the Gemara, v'chalukim b'nasim, we find another separation regarding nasim. That when they inaugurated the Mishkan, all the leaders of the respective shvatim came and offered karbanos, chanukas ha-mizbeach, right? And we find that Ephraim had a Nasi that brought a carbon, likewise, Menashe's Nasi brought a carbon. Why? Why do they get separate carbonis? Once again, Ahu, that was for a special reason, Lachlik covered the Nasiim to accord honor, to give respect to the Nasiim, lest, you know, one of them feel shortchanged. The Sanya, as we find in Abraisa, Shlomo, right? This is Shlomo HaMelech, when he completed the building of the first base of Migdash, he celebrated for 7 straight days, also Zayim in Chanukah, Umaroa Moshe. If Shlomo HaMelech suffice with 7, why did Moshe Rabbeinu stretch it to 12? Umar Roy Moshe Lasish Shneimosim Chanukah. Why did he make 12 days of Chanukah, of inauguration celebrations, way back by the Mishkan and the Midbar? The answer is to accommodate all 12 Shavatim. Teilachle covered the Nasim. Apparently, that was good enough reason, and likewise, good enough reason to give them separate karbanis. Mayavala. Okay, let's just conclude on our discussion, meaning. So we learned that the Chatas HaTzibur is unaffected by Misa. What about the Chatas HaShutfin? So we had a question regarding Rav Shimon's opinion. We went back and forth and back and forth. According to Rav Shimon, do we regard a Chatas HaShutfin similar to Chatas HaTzibur and is unaffected by death or not? Toshma, let's conclude based on a Braisa. The son of Shimon Aymer, Chatas Chomesh Chatos Mesos. In fact, we learn from Halacha Mishmi Sinai, that in 5 instances, a chatas, a korban chatas, is put to death. That's it, you can't process it properly. It's meses. What are the 5? Number 1, vlat chatas. A chatas who gave birth, so an offspring of a korban chatas. Utmuras chatas. You have a chatas, which was a tmura. So basically, you had a korban chatas, and you said, okay, I want the kedusha of this chatas to be transferred or stretched and extend it into another carbon. So that second carbon is called Tmuras Chatas. You can't bring it as a carbon. Rather, it goes L'misa. Thirdly, V'chatas Shemes Ba'aleo, a chatas whose owner passed away. 4, V'chatas Shemeskaper Ba'aleo, a chatas whose owner already took a different carbon instead. V'chata shavar shnasa, or a chatas would pass its first year, past the year old. So it's a total of five. Now, v'yato yechaloymar, v'lad chatas betzibur. You can't apply the concept of v'lad chatas by etzibur. You know why? She'ain tzibur mafish in the keva. A chatas of etzibur is never going to be a female. There's no concept of offspring. So that instance, that variation, is not applicable to a tzibur. Likewise, tmura is also not applicable. V'yato yechaloyma tmura is chatas betzibur. Because by tzibur, there's no tmura. She'ain tmura betzibur, they can't do tmura. Third thing, which is inapplicable, by yetzibur, v'yato yechaloymar chatos shmeisa ba'alu betzibur. Likewise, the one that the owner died, again, doesn't apply by tzibur, as we said over and over again, because she'ein tzibur meisa. What about the final two, which technically can apply by yetzibur? The one that the fellow took a different carbon instead, or the one that is too old, right? That could work by yetzibur, she'ens chaper ba'alea, or v'shaver shenasa. Loi shemano. So what's the status on those? If it belongs to the tzibur, and this indeed happens, it got too old, what's the status of the carbon? Yochal yamusa, perhaps, they're put to death. What's inapplicable is inapplicable, but what's applicable, you could proceed and you apply the same process as if it would be a chatos yachid. The answer is no, says Reb Shimon. It's one package. Amrus, the answer is yilmoid sasam. We can resolve, we can clarify the status of the unknowns, the two unknowns, minamafurish, from the three that are known, as follows. Ma motzinu, just like we find, bevlaat chatas, utmuras chatas, v'chatas shemesu ba'alea, just like the first three examples are limited to only one belonging to a yachid, biyachid devara mamurim, but it doesn't apply to a tzibur, as we discussed, a little bit tzibur, likewise, the remaining two, sheneschaper ba'alea, v'shaber shnasa, even though theoretically it can apply to a tzibur, no, biyachid devara mamurim, but a little bit tzibur, the din of misa only applies if it belongs to a yachid, but not to a tzibur. Ask the Gemara, v'chidon efsha mishi efsha, how can he learn one from the other? The last two, well, it's efsha. Theoretically, it could happen by a tzibur. How could you go and learn from those that are not applicable to a tzibur? And due to circumstance, that's not going to happen. Mishi efsha. I mean, you can compare apples to apples, but here you're comparing apples to oranges. Just because those don't work by tzibur, but these that could work by tzibur should. The answer is Reb Shimon b'chad makim gomer. Shimon had a tradition, a Kabbalah, that it was one package, all or nothing. That was how the Halacha Mishmisina was given over. It was stated as a package. Either all five work or none. And since three of them don't work by tzibur, circumstantially, so the whole concept of misa doesn't apply to tzibur. So that concludes our discussion. We have clarity that indeed according to Reb Shimon, unless all five are applicable, none are applicable. And therefore, by shutvas as well, since a chatas of a shutvas, like a pyre of bezin, can only come as a zohar, as a male, there's no vlad. Likewise, a shutvas can't do tmura. So if some are not applicable, all are not applicable. And there's no concept of chatas lamisa by a shutvas. So bottom line is, chatas hayachid has five instances where the chatas is put to death. But according to Reb Shimon, by the tzibur, likewise by the shutvas, since not all are applicable, none are. Hadron lach harubes, continues the mission. Harukoin mishiach la'atzma. Up until now we spoke about the public being misled by the bezin to commit a sin. Now we shift to something, you know, similar. It's a different variation of this idea, but it pertains to the Kohen Mashiach, the Kohen that was anointed, the Kohen Gadol, the great leader, who's also typically a great Talmud Chacham. So he ruled for himself. He paskened that, you know, the Chaylev is permitted. And of course it was a mistake, Shoigig. He didn't mean to do so. He misunderstood something. Vasa Shoigig, and he carried out his ruling with Shoigig as well. He permitted it and he did it. So just like if the public was misled by the Bezin, they bring a pyre, Likewise, the Kohen Mashiach, due to his lofty status as a leader of Klal Yisrael, he follows the same pattern. If his mistake came about by a ruling, in this case his own ruling, his personal ruling, he brings a par, maybe par. However, that's only when the Hayra was b'shoigig and the act was b'shoigig. But if you're lacking any of those elements, for instance, shoigig, he ruled b'shoigig, vasa mezid, but he carried it out knowing that it was wrong. Mezid, he ruled b'mezid, vasa shoigig, and he carried it out forgetting that it was us. In these cases, potter doesn't bring a par. Why? Because, again, it follows a similar pattern to the power of the tzibur. Shayras, koin mashiach la'atzmi, koiras, bezin la'tzibur, because the ruling, the psak, the verdict that the koin mashiach applies personally has the same status, in a way, as the hero of the bezin, which misled the tzibur. And it requires a hero of a shaygig and an act of a shaygig. Shaygig was a shaygig, maybe par pshit. Ask the Gemara, if he ruled b'shaygig, and he did b'shaygig, of course he brings a par. I mean, that's a shaygig all through. So what's the chiddush here? Pshit, Amar Abaye. Hachma iskin, the chiddush is like this. We're speaking, kon shahayro v'shachach me'ezet tam hayro. Initially, he made a psak. He ruled to permit something. Then a week later, when he was actually going to, you know, carry out the ruling and implement it and eat the whatever, he recalled that, in fact, he permitted it for himself. But he didn't recall v'shachach me'ezet tam hayro. He forgot the rationale behind, the basis for the psak. When he actually implemented his ruling and he ate the chalab, Omar, he says like this, I don't recall the specifics, but I'm relying on, you know, my earlier judgment. I'm doing it based on my original psak. And he proceeded. You would think that perhaps there's an element of negligence here because he failed to, you know, reconsider, reanalyze the story. Perhaps you can say, kivon de'ilu misyadalei shem adarbei. If perhaps he would have, you know, recalled the reason, analyzed it further, perhaps he would have retracted. And the fact that he didn't bother analyzing it left him in the dark and brought him to do what he did. Perhaps there's an element of mezid, kemezid dami. And he wouldn't have to bring the carbon, the pyre. It wouldn't justify. Kamashman, the point is no. The fact is, he had a right to rely on his earlier judgment. He doesn't have to rethink and reanalyze. If he judged, and he ruled, and now he did, he brings a par. And it's considered a shoigig all throughout. Okay, let's briefly recap here. We had the beginning, the brisa with Leviim, where the chatos was not consumed by the kohanim, it was a special carbon, a rosh hashanah, a special pasuk for that. Likewise, we have the karbonis brought when they returned from Golus, and this was meant to atone for avodah zarah. We went back and forth on that, how did it work? There's one that we said, but Sibur, and then we said, actually, they were alive. In any case, it was Mezid. That required a special, you know, Hayra Shah, which also explained a large number of Karbanis. And the conclusion was that if the Chatas at Sibur had a member die, it's not affected by the by his death. Only a Chatas HaYachar has that, you know, issue. And regarding Rav Shimon, we had a Chiddush that, just like by a Chatas Sibur, there is no chatas amesa because it's all or nothing, and some of them certainly are not applicable by a tzibur, like the vlad and the tmura. Likewise, all five are not applicable, and likewise by the chatas hashutfen as well. A kohen mashiach has similar status to the tzibur, and if he's hoira b'shoigig and also b'shoigig, he brings a par to be mechaper on his shkaka. All the best to you and hatzlacha rav.